UN Story. Today's UN Story is based on the recent journey across Europe by Mr. Gibson Park of the United Nations Radio, and is titled Paris to Istanbul Express.
Attention, train number 351, Rome, Belgrade, Istanbul, en voiture, s'il vous plaît.
Well, here I was at last, and with a few minutes to spare. And I leaned out of the window for a moment and watched the people pass. There's a sprinkling from half the countries of Europe. I always play a little game, guessing what they do. And if you're playing this game on me, well, I'm British, conservative neckwear, business, radio, writing, not repairs. And I'm bound for Istanbul.
Saint-Blanc Orient Express. En voiture, s'il vous plaît.
The suburbs of Paris were thinning out as I got into my pajamas. I turned in. And as I tried to sleep, the wheel sped through the French countryside, the first leg of a long journey, Paris to Istanbul. I woke up in Switzerland. And as I wandered along to have breakfast, we were running beside the glistening lake of Geneva. The diner seemed to be kilometers away. I went in. Good morning.
Good morning.
The car was crowded, and the head waiter very busy. I found an empty place. I say, do you mind if I join you? This seems to be the only free seat.
Not at all. Sit right down.
Thank you very much.
Et pour vous, monsieur?
I'll have a café complet, s'il vous plaît.
Café complet, bien, monsieur.
Are you going all the way?
Yep, right down to Istanbul.
You know, this train always fascinates me. I suppose, as an American, you find it a bit odd, don't you, crossing all these frontiers with the interminable formalities?
Well, no. I think it's a pretty fine thing, a train like this running again, straight across Europe.
Well, of course, the bombing must have ripped up the lines and shattered the rolling stock.
It sure has. I've seen the figures somewhere. About 40,000 miles of European rail track were destroyed. Put that in a straight line, it'll go right around the world. Twice.
That's very interesting.
30,000 bridges blown up. Some countries lost more than half of every kind of railway building they had.
Sounds pretty bad.
And passenger traffic, mind you, was the least of their troubles. The real headache was the freight situation. Freight cars scattered all over the place. French cars in Poland, Dutch cars in Italy. Over half of them in their wrong countries. It was like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, I see. And yet, you know, it's an extraordinary thing. Here we are this morning, barely 4 years afterwards, bowling along in the Orient Express, and nothing could seem more normal. But I see you seem to know an awful lot about this situation. Are you connected with railways?
No, I'm with ECE.
You're with what?
ECE.
Oh, yes. What's ECE?
Well, it's the Economic Commission for Europe, one of those commissions of the United Nations.
Oh.
It meets in Geneva, and our job is...
After the tunnel at Montreux, he really got going, my friend with the vivid American tie. He told me a lot about this Economic Commission, and he had a rather nice way of putting things.
It's kind of a central office where we look after the housekeeping of Europe. Nearly all of Europe's in the ECE, 27 countries, including the Soviet Union. The United States is in it, too.
Is that so?
Yep. You see, after the war, shortages cropped up in everything that it takes to make these countries tick. And worse than that, the shortages chase one another around.
How do you mean?
Well, look, to get more steel, you needed more coal. Now, the coal, in turn, depended on timber and steel for the coal mines and food for miners. One thing always seemed to depend on another, and there was never enough of the other. Believe me, when the war ended, the picture was over.
I asked him along to my compartment as we followed the Rhone along the valley. Soon we were burrowing through the Simplon Tunnel under the Alps. We came out in a splash of Italian sun, and were running down through the foothills to Domodossola.
So the United Nations got the various governments to come together in Geneva and do something about these bottlenecks, these shortages. It was a new idea, this business of looking at the continent as one complete unit, like the United States. Now, mind you, there were And there still are many difficulties in the way.
Passaporti, prego, domodossola, dogana italiana. Passport, please, signore, Italian customs.
Passaporti. He stamped my passport, he messed up my bags, and he checked the money in my wallet. We got done, we walked along the platform to stretch our legs, all the way right up to where the locomotive was standing.
Parker, you see that line of trucks waiting at the crossing?
Over there, yeah.
They're hauling fruit from Rome to Rotterdam, rolling night and day through three or four countries, bringing vitamins to Dutch kids. On the return trip, maybe they'll take fish back to Prague.
Yes, I see.
Through ECE, the governments have agreed to cut out all kinds of red tape, which tied up frontiers. Would have been impossible before the war.
You mean you've simplified the whole thing?
Sure. Why, 12 countries have standardized their customs routine at the frontiers. We call this whole thing freedom of the road.
Passaggeri, carrozza, on a bordo.
Hey, that means us. We better get back to our car. Take the whole question of touring. The same bus can now take you from the highlands of Scotland to the Alps of Switzerland. From Stockholm, Sweden to
the French Riviera.
Yeah. We're making travel by road painless. No more bales of paper. Your own driver's license will be good in any of these countries, and your own insurance will cover you.
Well, now that's completely new, isn't it?
Absolutely. I tell you, the day will come when you'll have the same road standards, measurements, signs, and rules of the road. And this is government agreement, mind you, not just a couple of auto clubs getting together.
We'd taken in only a third of the journey, but he seemed to have taken in every problem of transport and frontiers and customs. He had my head reeling.
I didn't tell you about silica bricks.
What in heaven's name are silica bricks?
Why, silica bricks are what you line furnaces with, industrial ovens. A couple of years ago, a great many industries were stymied with resulting unemployment simply because there was a bad shortage of silica bricks. We took this up at ECE, and I must say the meeting was pretty much a model of the way you can work things out. Before the war, Eastern Europe used to export its raw materials to Western Europe. The Western countries made up the finished articles and exported them back to the East. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now today, the Eastern countries want that changed. They want to increase their own industry and production, you see. Now to do that, they'll have to buy machinery and all kinds of materials from the West. If they can do that, they'll raise their standard of living and their purchasing power.
All that should look extremely healthy.
It should. But what happens if somewhere along the line between East and West you arrive at a political impasse?
Trieste, Trieste, we arrive in Trieste. Are your passports ready, please?
Trieste, a trouble spot. Under the station lights, there was the usual melting pot of travelers. And among them, the red cap bands and white helmets of a group of British and American military police stood out near the transportation office. We stopped for quite a while because we were, after all, the most important train of the day and needed close attention. So it was late when we started out on the next lap of our journey. And as the train climbed, it became a little chilly.
Even during the Cold War, East and West have been sitting together around a table every day of the year. And we've had plenty of unanimous agreements.
We smoked a last cigarette, and it was the small hours of the morning when we said goodnight in the corridor outside my compartment.
Oh, by the way.
Hmm?
I suppose you know where we are now.
I haven't the faintest idea, old boy.
We're in Yugoslavia.
You mean we've crossed the, You mean we're behind the,
Yep. I guess so.
Oh.
Good night. Sleep well.
Here we were, 300 or 400 miles into the heart of Yugoslavia. And there on the little table was the day-old London Times and the half-smoked pack of American cigarettes I'd bought in the Paris nightclub. I began connecting everything I looked at with the economy of Europe. Was it an export? From whom? To where? How was it paid for? In what? I'd never been so observant in my life.
You know, Parker, few Europeans, let alone Americans, have any idea how many European homes were rubble at the end of the war. Unless we build faster than we did before the war, France won't be able to rehouse her population until 1956. Holland can do it by 1973. And it'll take Greece until the year 2093. The Greek government, by the way, has many other things to think about besides housing.
Belgrade, we arrive in Belgrade in 20 minutes.
These timber yards are one of the answers. Yugoslavia has the timber. You only have to look out of the window. But to cut it down, she must buy machinery from Britain and the United States. Now, ECE has asked the International Bank to look in on the deal and make dollars available to Yugoslavia for this. Now, I call that moving down the road of international cooperation.
And it was then that I caught sight of the broad Danube, more muddy green than blue. During the stop at Belgrade and for miles afterwards, I sat alone in my compartment, and 100 thoughts crowded my mind. Here was a subject which 3 days ago was as far from me as the moon, and now it was as near as my own fireside. I realized that I was part of it. This commission in Geneva seemed to touch on everything. I began to get the idea. ECE represented something that got things done. In the midst of all the conflicting interests, the many crossing roads, it represented a junction where people come together. A junction in Europe. We crossed the Bulgarian frontier at Caribrod. All day we ran through farmlands with a stop at Sofia, the capital.
Say, you must drink some of this rakia. It's a local brew. The only thing stronger is atomic energy. Anyway, what have we got to lose? It's our last night aboard.
Now, that's a fine idea. I'm going to give you a toast. I raise my glass to ECE.
Well, I'll join you in that. This is as good a setting as any. Bulgarian rakia in an Italian glass.
Yeah, drunk by an American and an Englishman.
And a French coach.
In a train on its way to Turkey.
That's okay. Here's to ECE.
ECE. It was early morning. I pushed up the blind. It took me a moment to realize. I was looking across the Sea of Marmara, looking at Asia. We had crossed a continent. And maybe I thought, if man can be as wise as he is bold, we can go further and build a bridge across the gap that divides our world today. For that surely is the end to which we travel. When we got down, the platform was bedlam. I turned to my friend, and we shook hands.
It's been swell, Parker. Say, you said you're in radio, didn't you? Why don't you look me up in Geneva sometime? We'll put together a program on ECE.
Now, that's a good idea. I'll do that.
What's that you say?
I said I'll do that. Well, this, what you've just been hearing, this was the program.
Today's UN story, Paris to Istanbul Express, as told by Mr. Gibson Parker, was produced by United Nations Radio.